in the week two of our series called How to Make This the Best Year Ever. And we're going to hope that technology works, and maybe you'll have some stuff to write down if you choose to. If not, we're just going to keep plugging along. But last week we talked about how to make this the best year ever through our finances, and what are the tools and resources, and what do we do with those? And because that's truly all it is their tools and resources. If you missed that week or any other week, LHWC.org is the website. You can get caught up on any of that. But let me ask you a question. Don't get mad at me. Anybody remember the score of the game yesterday? So, yeah, what game? So So we might remember that. I do. But if you're not a sports person, let me ask you, how many characters are allowed in a tweet for Twitter? Some of the certain generation has no clue what I'm talking about. Others, how about this? How many ounces are in a cup? Right? Okay, so we have all of this stuff, right? We have all of this stuff. Now let me ask you, what does Revelations 5:3 say? What about Joshua 1:13? See, I think we're really good at memorizing a lot of things. My buddy can tell you the starting lineup for the Orioles in like the 60 World Series or whenever they played. I don't even know. But he's got a lot of knowledge, like not even knowledge, he's a very smart man. But he has a lot of information, and we're all really good at collecting information. We know scores of games, we know cooking ingredients, we know traffic, we know all of these different things. But oftentimes when it comes to Scripture, unless we see it at that sporting event, we have a hard time remembering what John 3:16 says. Why is that? Why is it so difficult for us to understand that? Last week when we talked about finances, we were reminded that really these are just a tool and they're a resource with the goal of our lives becoming more like Christ. Ultimately, that's what we want this series to do for us. We want this series, all of the parts of it, to make us more like Christ in every single way. And we don't do that automatically. You know, believe it or not, shocker, you're not going to draw closer to Christ if you just listen to me for 20 minutes a week. I know, that's surprising. But you're not going to just magically draw close to God if you share a fun quote on social media. It's going to take intentionality on your part. You have to own parts of your faith, all of your parts. And the reality is all of these things are resources and tools to help point you in that direction, is that we reflect Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to hope, oh my goodness, there's a screen. There's not one in the back, but I'm so proud of you, gentlemen. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is a spirit, makes us more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So change, or some translations call it a transformation. This is what we're going after in this series. A life transformation. And January seems to be that perfect time, right? Everybody's got their New Year's resolutions. I want to get better in my finances. I want to get better in my health. I want to reach out to that long lost friend, whatever it is. And so our goal is to help you do that. Now, I hope when you come here, I can't guarantee every room is going to be nice and toasty warm. I'm sorry about that. It's freezing. But I hope you have a good time. I hope you have life-giving conversations. I hope you're enjoying your Hope Coffee. That's the company we use. I really do hope you do that. But ultimately, our goal is that your life would more and more reflect Jesus every time you come. That the engagements you have would point you to a life transformation, a life that has been changed by Jesus, no matter how little or how drastic. And it seems like January is the perfect time to do that, right? It's the perfect time to kind of focus in on that, because we all have this, I'm going to get my finances better, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to do all of these things, and I'm going to have a great year. And so our goal is to do that same thing, is to help you do that. God will do some amazing changes in your life if we apply the things that we're going to be talking about over this series. A quick study I did showed that New Year's resolutions, 65% of Americans make a New Year's resolution. 65%. Of those 65%, approximately 9.2% of them actually hold to it. And they're saying that it takes 2 weeks. They actually gave it a date, January 12th, 2 weeks from the start of your resolution, from the start of the new year, majority of the people will stop their resolution. Do you know today's January 12th? So if you do your resolution tomorrow, congratulations. You are not a statistic. Good job. But the reality is we are going to pursue a change in a healthy habit, because what we discovered is that a change of habit is not complicated oftentimes. It's a small change, but they're hard to make. They're hard to adjust to. They're not difficult concepts, but it's not rocket surgery, but it's difficult to apply. So that's what we're going to do. So the first one, we're going to experience some change. We're going to have a Christ-like transformation that we couldn't imagine. And we're going to experience the presence of God that we couldn't believe. And we're going to have victory over sin. And we're going to have the ability to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone at any place. And you're going to enjoy a closeness to God that you never would have experienced if we can pursue some of these things. And now maybe it sounds a little too good to be true, like those pictures says, share this within 15 minutes and God will bless you amazingly, right? That sounds a little too good to be true, because it is, right? And this might sound that too, but I guarantee it's not. So here's the first thing I'm going to suggest that we do. We're going to memorize scripture. That is the first thing that we're going to pursue today. All of us, intentionally or not, are able to memorize something. The excuse we hear, I'm not good at memorizing. Yes, you are. You can do just fine. We know the sports scores. We know Twitter character numbers. We have all sorts of bits of information rattling around in our head. But scripture, for some reason, is one of those things that we either don't want to do, are not interested in, or just have a difficult time doing it for various reasons. Because sometimes we come across passages that are challenging, a little confusing. We come across stories that are interesting. Are the videos working, Nick? Yeah? Awesome. All right. So this is my all-time favorite story in all of Scripture. But when you get to the story, it's like, this is a really weird story. How does it apply? Take a look.
And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back, and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 through 24.
Scripture's beautiful. A beautiful bald man getting mocked by teenagers has him taken out by bears. Who doesn't like that? But oftentimes we get to these parts of Scripture and say, that's really confusing. Or how is that in life-giving? And so we have a hard time understanding. But the truth is, when we start to take Scripture and put it into our lives, God's word starts to penetrate our lives and starts to change us, because there's enormous benefits in memorizing scripture that goes beyond random trivia night, that game night that we have. And so the first benefit we're going to look at is the benefit that we become more like Christ. God uses scripture to reveal himself to us, to show us who he is, to show us his characteristics, to show us what it's like. And it's going to occupy the majority of our time. Think about that. Who are the people you think about? Who are the people you interact with? Where are the places that you go? I'm willing to bet that you have a pretty good take on who those people are, what makes them tick. What is it about that location that you go to, the nuances of it, where to go, how to open the door, and all of those things, and we pursue them, right? And our lives are reflected on that. If we do the same thing with Jesus, if we pursue him, if we are constantly involved in Scripture, if we are involved with him, make it a priority, we now become connected, and we're going to experience that life transformation. We are going to become more like Christ. This is the way God reveals himself. Look at 1 Samuel 3. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. See, you get to know God by reading Scripture. And what better way is there to interact with Scripture than to memorize it? Look what it says in Psalms. I have thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin. It leads us to our next one. Here's the next benefit. It gets us feel close to God. One of the ways that we can feel close to God is by understanding his attributes. God has many attributes, and some of the basic attributes. He's loving, he's powerful, he's merciful, he's forgiving, he's right, all-knowing, all of these attributes. How do we know and memorize these attributes? Well, we heard them somewhere, right? Maybe we didn't hear them or know them from Scripture. Maybe we said, oh, I heard it in a song. Mom and Dad told me, my kindergarten Sunday school teacher told me, right? But they got it from somewhere, and that somewhere is Scripture. It's from Scripture. Now imagine if you had Scripture so ingrained in your heart and your mind that when you went through your day, you could easily recall it. Maybe like this one, your attributes of God. In Psalm 103, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens from the earth. He has removed our sins as far from the east as from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows who are weak, how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. What if we could just take this passage and just recall it any time of the day? Could you imagine taking that thing and the confidence it would give you in this life to be able to speak the truth about who God is, to overcome all of the other negative messages we receive every other time of the day? If we could just pull that up and say it and be reminded of the character of God in our lives, how powerful would that be? The next benefit of memorization is victory over sin. We have victory over sin. See, when Scripture's in our hearts, when it's at the core of who we are, we can't help but respond in that way, and it gives us victory. In the Bible, we read about how Jesus was sent out into the wilderness, into the desert, by the Spirit of God. He was sent out there to fast for 40 days to prepare himself for his upcoming ministry. And while he's there, Satan tempts him three times. And each time Satan tried to tempt him, he tried to tempt him to do something that was contrary to what God had for him. And that's simply what temptation is, right? And he said 40 days without food. 40 days, and you know he was hungry, right? I mean, I can't go for 40 days. But look what it says in Matthew 4. Then Satan tempted him to get food by changing stones into loaves of bread. It will prove you are the Son of God, he said. See, now this would have been a sin because Jesus would have had focused on his selfishness over the plan that God had. He would have been able to tell the people, this is who I am, and all the people will see me because I did a miracle of the stone into bread. Jesus could have taken the shortcut into the plan that God had instead of following through God's commandment of taking the time in the wilderness to fast and prepare himself. See, I don't think I could have done it. I mean, 40 days in the wilderness, 40 days without food, I can't hardly go 4 hours. But 40 days, if I had the power to turn stone into bread, you better believe it's the best tasting bread I've ever had, and I'm going to make a lot of it, right? But thankfully, Jesus is stronger than I am, right? So he responds this way. He says, no, for the Scriptures tell us that bread won't feed men's souls. Obedience to every word of God is what we need. See, Jesus quotes Scripture. He's tempted. He comes across something, and what does he do? What is his response? It's not to go to social media. It's not to complain. It's to quote the Scripture that is written in his heart. And he quotes it from Deuteronomy 8:3. Yes, he humbled you by letting you. Now, he's talking to the people of Israel. He letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus fought temptation with Scripture. He could do that because Scripture was in his heart. Sometimes Scripture happens slowly. It's kind of this slow fade, small decision, small decision, small decision, and leads into a big thing. Other times it happens just in a blink. It comes out of nowhere, kind of like it did with Jesus, right? And you don't have time to prepare. It's not like Jesus was studying like a teenager for the ACTs, you know, and cramming the night before and says, hey, Alexa, remind me tomorrow at 5 o'clock I'm being tempted, right? And Alexa goes, 4:45, be prepared for temptation in 15 minutes, right? It doesn't happen that way. It hardly ever gives you a warning. And so what are we going to do to be prepared to be ready? Because temptation is sneaky. Whether it's quick, whether it's slow, it all says the same thing. And Jesus could do this. He could fight it. Because temptation says, look, it's not bad. Just do this. It's really not going to be that harmful. Right? Just go ahead and do this because the benefits are there. Look at how great this is going to be. You deserve this. So whether it's slow or whether it's sudden, it will lead us to justifying our decision of sin. How are we going to stop those temptations, slow or quick? Look at another attempt that was made against Jesus. Here's Satan. He says, jump off. So he's standing on a cliff in a mountaintop looking over, and Satan says, jump off and prove you are the Son of God. For the scriptures declare, God will send his angels to keep you from harm. They will prevent you from smashing on the rocks. Look at that. This time the tempter thinks, okay, look, Jesus, you're going to use scripture? So will I. And get this. Here's what it says. The evil one uses Psalm 91. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. But here's the deal. The tempter didn't use the full passage. He didn't use all of Psalm 91. He left out a very key phrase that says, in all your ways. See, here's the deal. The evil one knows scripture, probably knows it better than you do. And he will use it, and he will twist it, and he will manipulate it, and he will use it as a weapon against you to accomplish whatever message he wants to accomplish. Many of us, I don't know if we would have passed that test. I think if we would have been given that message, we said, yeah, that sounds a little bit like a passage I heard once. I'm going to go ahead and jump because I want to prove to them who I am. I don't know if I would have passed. But Jesus had the full context of Scripture. He didn't omit any passage. He was able to look at that one passage and compare it and understand the entire embodiment of the scriptures. He didn't omit anything. And so Jesus responds again. He says, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And that's from Deuteronomy 6. Again, he's using scripture. Jesus is victorious over sin because the word of God is in his heart. And here's where it gets hard for us sometimes, I think. See, we think memorizing scriptures, if we memorize scriptures, if we're in church, maybe we're in a life group and we're making all of these good choices, then it's going to be a cakewalk. It is going to be absolutely easy. I'm sorry to tell you in a sense that the only ones not affected by temptation are dead. The reality is the closer you get to God, it might be a little bit more of a challenge. And that's why it's so vital and important to have the word of God on our heart. The third temptation that Jesus was given by Satan, it's a temptation that we all get. It's a temptation of power. Look what it says in verse 9. I will give it all to you. He's talking about the kingdoms, the power. He's talking about the entire world. He says, I will give this all to you if you kneel down and worship me. See, Jesus was offered a shortcut to power. He was offered a shortcut to the ultimate goal, which is reclaiming everything that was already his. Satan says, look, this is my realm. I've got this under control, and I'll give it all to you. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is recognize who's in charge. He could have done that. Jesus could have skipped all of that other nasty stuff, the abuse, the hurt, the ridicule, and taken the shortcut and the easy way through it. In other words, he could enjoy all the glory without the challenge. He could enjoy all the benefits without any consequences. But he responds, he says, get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, of course, this is also from scripture. Jesus had it written on his heart. So he asks, how do I make this the best year ever? If we're going to choose to put God's word in our heart, it's going to help us be more like Christ. It's going to put God close to our hearts. And we are going to have victory over sin. So the question is, will we do the work that's necessary? Will we do those things, those small changes that are incredibly difficult to apply, will we put in the work to make this the best year ever? See, when we make those changes in our finances, we feel constrained maybe. We feel a challenge. When we face it in our food, the food tastes different. Our muscles hurt if we're exercising. Things are different and they're uncomfortable. But will we do the hard work? Look what it says in Hebrews 12. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Jesus kept the word of God in his heart, in his life. Oftentimes, though, we think memorization is this painstaking promise. We have like flashback horrific memories of mom and dad giving us a flashcard, right? Like 4 + 4, nail it, right? And we have this thing of like, I hate memorization because it was drilled into me that way, and we think that's the way memorization actually works. We think it's drudgery. But think of all the things that you've memorized. You know your phone number. Most of us would know our social security numbers. You know our house address. I know birthdays simply because they're on my calendar, right? But we know other important dates. We know sports scores. We know information. We know capitals of states that we don't even live in. We have this information. So the idea of drudgery and flashcards, there's more to it. So how do we put the word of God in our hearts? I want to offer you some practical steps, some practical helps to get us there. The first one is something I was told by a middle school teacher. It's the KISS principle. Ever heard this? Keep it simple, stupid. Probably not the nicest thing to say to a middle school kid, but I was told it and now I remember it, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Don't overcomplicate this thing. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel on all this stuff. First, if you haven't done it, download the YouVersion Bible app. Download it. Great tool, great resources. We're going to address it again next week. But don't complicate it. Every week on the YouVersion Bible app, they give you a passage of the day. Use it. Read it. Focus on it. Really simple tool. Next way we're going to try, next step, choose wisely. Look, we at our fingertips, whether it's on your phone, in the chair, the Bible, the library, you have countless translations of the Bible. If you have a hard time reading these and thous, switch your translation. If you find beauty in the poetry of the these and thous, read it. It doesn't matter. The point is, if you're having a difficult time even reading it, you won't complete it. You will stop reading. Okay? Find a translation that you can read and you can understand. Just choose wisely. The next thing is be realistic. So be realistic with yourself. Don't use it as a cop-out. Don't use it as an excuse not to do it, but understand who you are. You know, but take that passage. None of us are going to take flashcards and sit there and memorize it. Some of you might, because you're kind of sick that way, but you might actually just do it. But the reality is, take a card, tape it to your office desk, your school book, anywhere you go, the mirror in the morning, whatever it is, put it in a place that you can just see it. Be realistic with your time and yourself. Don't try to murky it up. The next tip, create bite-sized portions. Don't tell yourself, I'm going to memorize the book of Luke by the end of February. Right? Be realistic. Take bite-sized portions. In your bulletin, we have given you a basic card that is filled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, several more. Different topics, different verses. It just gets you started. Take those things, read one. John 15:7 is one verse. It's two lines. It's really simple. This is a place just to get you started. Okay, so don't make it too hard. Take bite-sized portions that you can remember. The next practical way is make notes. I'm going to tell you, it's not sacrilege to write in your Bible. If you have this card or your Bible, the YouVersion Bible app, you can make notes. Circle words, underline words, draw. I have a friend of mine who does Bible journaling. She'll look at a passage and literally the cover page of her Bible is a picture. She has drawn in it and colored it, something that is connected with that passage in her. don't be afraid to do that. Whatever helps you, lock that in and remember it, okay? Make notes about something that's important. Next thing is get support. Look, again, any habit you're going to change, you will falter if you don't have somebody walking with you and helping you. Again, next week we'll talk about it, but YouVersion has some great support tools. But join a life group. Talk with someone that you know and trust. Say, hey, here's the passage I'm that's just feeding my life here for this week or next week, and say it to them. Not only say it to them, but say something about what is connected with you. I love when it said this, or I don't understand this, or what do you think of this? Say it, but have somebody hold you accountable. And next, don't give up. Don't give up. We're going to come to stories in the Bible like I showed you. We're going to come to other passages in Scripture that we're going to get to, and all of a sudden the evil one is going to get a hold of it and says, see, this really isn't that important. The evil one is going to come to you and say, you see, you can't understand this. You see, this isn't really that important, right? Or we're going to get to a portion of Scripture that we're wondering, like, really, how does this apply? Okay? Let me show you what I mean. Take a look.
All names begat the other. Adam begat Seth. Seth begat Enos. Enos begat Canaan. Canaan begat Mahalalel. Mahalalel begat Jared. Jared begat Enoch. Enoch begat Methuselah. Methuselah begat Lamech. Lamech begat Noah. Noah begat Shem. Shem begat Arpachshad. Arpachshad begat Canaan. Canaan begat Shelah. Shelah begat Eder. Eder begat Peleg. Peleg begat Reuel. Reuel begat Serug. Serug begat Nahor. Nahor begat Terah. Terah begat Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And a whole bunch of other people whose names I can't pronounce. Okay, where does that leave us? Jacob. Okay, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus.
See, we get to these portions of Scripture, right? Like, oh, I'm going to skip this, right? But there is life-giving power in the memorization of Scripture. By the way, it's okay to laugh in church if you found that funny, okay? There are portions of Scripture when we can lock the Word of God in our hearts. We draw closer to God. We have the freedom from sin. I encourage you this year, as part of the things that we're going to make a step towards, that we're going to have these difficult changes in our life, that I implore you to make this one of those. And don't do it with the intent of just, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to memorize this, but with the intent that I want this passage to change me. I want this passage to make me more like Jesus, whatever it is. Find that passage and put it everywhere you go and just read it and put it onto your heart, and that'll help you fight off that sin and that temptation just like it did with Jesus. Okay? We're going to transition to a song to wrap it up. But as we do, I want to pray for us, encourage us a little bit, not to quit, not to have that challenge. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together. God, and as your word says, to write your words, your message on our heart, because that's the way that one of the primary ways that you communicate with us. And your son Jesus took your word and put it on his heart and was able to fight off the evil one, Scripture for Scripture. Father, as we go from here and we draw close to you, we understand that we may come under a deeper struggle. We may come against something that is going to hold us back even that much more and that much more difficult. Father, may the Scriptures locked within us help us to set aside those voices that are telling us opposite, the voice that is twisting your word, that the evil one uses to attack us, that isn't a true picture of who you are. But God, that your message of love, mercy, forgiveness, and sacrifice would penetrate our lives. And we would understand deep within us who we are in you. And we'd surrender everything back to you. So that when that time comes, when we do get hit, when we are hit with sin and temptation or desire, either on the moment or a slow fade into sin, God, that we'd be able to stand up because you are leading us. I thank you for your promised Holy Spirit that lives inside all those who call on you, that gives us the power to stand in that place. And Father, thank you for doing that. God, be with us today. No matter where we go, no matter what we encounter or who we encounter, God, that you would be at the forefront of our minds and our hearts. I thank you for your mercy and your grace that's going to go before us in all places this week. Father, it's in your name. Amen.